This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Epic victories, heartbreaking defeats. No matter your team, no matter your game, we talk sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the Sports League, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get you set up for another weekend of fantasy football with our regular visit, Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, joining us now in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. And Andy, we have action starting tonight, Thursday Night Football. The news of DJ Chark being out, it sucks. But if you needed a reason to watch tonight, even with Chark out of the lineup, I would say I have two. One would be Gardner Minshew, and two would be Laviska Shenault. Excited about this matchup tonight. Tell us what we can expect to see out of these two teams tonight in Florida.
Yeah, I'm still reeling from the Chark news, actually. that hurts me a lot. I've got a lot of exposure to him, so it took me like literally a half an hour both to update the ranks and then to actually get Chark out of every lineup in which I had him. That was painful. But he has he's played the most snaps, obviously, of any Jacksonville receiver so far. Right behind him are Keelan Cole, who has scored a touchdown in each of the Jags' first two games. And then Shenault is right behind him as well. And they're using him in kind of the same fun way that he was used in college, which is to say that he's getting a bunch of carries as well as a bunch of receptions. He's a really fun player. We're going to see a lot of Chris Conley, too. We could see Chris Conley sort of step into a lot of the routes that were being run by Chark. They're not exactly the same level of talent, but Conley is a guy who could pick up again a few times.
Andy, what about the short week here and this Miami secondary tonight? Because we saw Josh Allen carve them up for 417 yards. Gardner Minshew going against the secondary tonight, is that a good play?
Andy, we got Andy or no? We lost Andy. All right, go ahead and try to get Andy back on the line there, Gene. We'll get him back on the blower, and while we do that, I'll kind of reset and set the table for you here for the rest of this afternoon in the sports bar, including a conversation coming up next hour with new Rochester Americans head coach Seth Appert, scheduled to join us a little after 4 o'clock. And we'll also talk Bills and Rams. Regular visit with Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard. We'll get the latest from Orchard Park on today's practice and get you all set up for Sunday's action there at Bills Stadium.
We're good.
Hey, Andy, sorry about that.
Hey, no, I'm sure it's on my end. Sorry about that. The short answer to your question is yes, Gardner Minshew's still a great start. He's still got talented receivers, and this is an incredible matchup. And it's not just this matchup for Minshew either. His next, like, three are all, it's like sort of a layup line right up until the Jacksonville week. So Minshew's going to be a strong start for a while.
Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy, our guest here. Andy, a lot of waiver wire pickups this week with all the injuries. Want to start in Carolina because a lot of people took in the top three, obviously Christian McCaffrey, and maybe you picked up Mike Davis. Mike Davis, is this a wait and see approach? Is this an offense in Carolina that's plug and play and you could expect some degree of production with Davis and the volume? What are your thoughts on Davis in Carolina?
Yeah, this is one of those situations, as we may have discussed with Michael Thomas, where like Christian McCaffrey isn't a role, you know, that's a transcendent NFL talent. And Mike Davis can't step right into that, but he could step into a role where he's seeing 16 to 20 touches right away. And almost without regard to who the opponent is, we care about that. We like that a lot. He caught all 8 of his targets last week.
playing in the absence of McCaffrey. And that, I mean, obviously in any sort of PPR, half PPR, that's great. So I would count on that, and I would think of him as more of a, you know, I've got him in the 20s right now in the ranks. I would think of him as more of a fringy RB2 or a flex.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, joining us here in the sports bar, and you can get his positional rankings there at Yahoo Fantasy Sports. Andy, what about Jerick McKinnon in San Francisco? Because he's not replacing the kind of talent that Christian McCaffrey is in Carolina, but he's entering into a system that we've seen has been very, very fruitful for running backs so far this season.
Yeah, he's been one of the feel-good stories of the year, really, because, I mean, he's missed a lot of time with the ACL injury and the subsequent surgeries. It's been really good to see. He's scored in each of the first 2 weeks on limited touches. We would expect him not to step right into Mostert's full role, right? I think they like using him as a rotational back. I think we're going to see a lot of Jeffrey Wilson. They've always liked Wilson near the goal line, so I think it's going to be a combination of McKinnon and Wilson. But McKinnon, obviously, the more explosive player. And they give him a lot of looks in the passing game. So I'm not going to be surprised if he catches five balls and maybe it's 8 to 12 carries, five catches, and that's a pretty good recipe against the soft Giants defense.
Yeah, and going with that soft Giants offense, how do you break out these running backs? You have Deion Lewis, I think Gallman is still there, and now Devontae Freeman comes in. I don't know, can you expect anything out of Devontae Freeman week one? What, is there anything there in a safe play for you, Andy?
Yeah, I can't give anybody a lot of hope here because Saquon, again, a player of such unusual talent that he could easily overcome the sort of shortcomings of the offense and the offensive line. We didn't worry so much about Saquon, but Devontae Freeman needs everything in front of him to be clean. And I don't think he's going to get that in New York. I would expect this week that it's going to be more of a Deion Lewis week because they're all just getting to know Devontae Freeman. You know, he's just learning everybody's name. So it's gonna take a week or two for Devontae Freeman to get up to speed, but it's eventually going to be Devontae's job. I would think that this week we'd probably see Deion Lewis with 15 or more touches.
Andy, last week at this time, we were having a similar conversation because the waiver wire last week was ripe with a lot of moves being made. And for the most part, a lot of those moves didn't quite pan out, save for maybe James Robinson in Jacksonville, who you were high on last week at this time, coincidentally. What do you do now if you're a Malcolm Brown owner or if you own Naeem Hines in Indianapolis and you saw both of those backs kind of not really perform up to their expectation in week two?
Yeah, well, the Naeem Hines situation is, to me, a little bit more concerning because he went from something like 30 snaps in week one to 9 snaps in week two. Like, they lost a running back, and he became far less part of the picture for that team, which is just not anything anyone should have expected. They had a cake matchup, too, against Minnesota, just a reeling, damaged Minnesota defense, and he barely played 9 snaps. So that's more concerning to me. He's clearly going to be a game plan dependent guy, right? Like, they're going to see some spots where they think they really have an opportunity with a pass catcher out of the backfield, but it's clearly not going to be every week. We might have expected that, but it's clearly not going to be every week. The situation with Brown is a little bit different. McVay has all but told us that they want to have a rotation of running backs this year. He got dinged. He injured his finger in that game, actually needed surgery for it. And it's still uncertain whether he's going to be able to go this week. So that was somewhat injury related. And then obviously Henderson looked really good in a tough spot too. Henderson looked good. So you're probably going to be seeing an awful lot of Henderson against Buffalo this week, because we don't think Cam Akers is going to be able to go either. So that's pretty much going to be the Henderson show.
Yeah, I mean, where do you rank Tyler Higbee? Because this is more like a real football question, too, because we're hearing that Tremaine Edmonds still hasn't been fully practicing, and if the Rams could take him the middle of the field. I mean, the Bills had trouble last week with Gesicki. What might Higbee do against this Buffalo defense this week, Andy?
Yeah, it kind of feels like the lone weakness for the Bills. I mean, from afar, you know, as a fan of a different NFL team, I wish we had the Bills problems, right?
All right.
like, everything looks pretty good. It was the one thing that seemed to work against them really well was Gesicki. Higbee's, like, obviously we would not expect multiple touchdowns in any given week from any given player, but this is kind of in line with what he was doing at the end of last season. I mean, he was just a series of 100-yard games over the final 5-6 weeks at the end of last season. So Higbee is just simply a problem going forward, period. He's a top eight fantasy tight end. He's certainly a top eight in the league receiving tight end. And he's essentially reduced a player that a lot of us like, Gerald Everett, to a non-role in L.A. Like, Higbee's the real deal.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. I want to go to the Lions and Cardinals game late on Sunday, Andy. I feel like that's a game, if it echoes what it did last year, will provide us with a lot of fantasy production. You also might have the return of Kenny Golladay for the Lions. I don't know if you've heard anything new on his availability for Week 3. He'd be making his 2020 season debut. Tell us a little bit about that matchup and what we could expect.
Yeah, the first and most important thing about that matchup last year was really that it was the TJ Hockenson game. It was a total coming out party for him. Like it was the first or second game of the season. I think it was the first week of the season. Hockenson just absolutely blew up, and it was the beginning of a series of tight ends blowing up against Arizona last year. But he's finally healthy again after a protracted period of dealing with various injuries. Hockenson is finally healthy again. He spiked in week one. I would expect him to find the end zone again in this one. It's a great matchup for him. And then the Kyler Murray, you know, there aren't very many people who are in the conversation with Russell Wilson for the MVP frontrunner right now, but I suppose Kyler Murray is one of them. And I don't see any way that the Lions are going to be able to.
Should we be concerned about Drew Brees here and ergo the rest of the Saints offense? Because what my eyes told me on Monday night, like, wow, this doesn't – I know Thomas is out, but this doesn't look right. And then the stat comes out, Andy, that yards per attempt was 4-point-something, the lowest since Favre in 2009. Andy, your thoughts on Brees and the Saints offense overall in that matchup against Green Bay Sunday night?
Yeah, I was just looking at some next-gen stats today, and Drew Brees is actually his intended air yards, like you think of the air yards that he's throwing on every hit. He's averaging only 5 intended air yards per target, which is startling.
Yeah,
like the guys near the top of the league are like at 10-plus yards. It's just not a total that we've seen from Brees. Every good thing that's coming in that passing game thus far has been from Alvin Kamara making plays after the catch. Like, it's all near the line of scrimmage. So it's a huge worry. And he missed throws that he just doesn't miss that are intermediate throws, right? Like his expected completion percentage is higher than his actual completion percentage, which is just not something that we've seen from Brees either. We could write it. I mean, it's like easy to write it off as one game without any Michael Thomas. And obviously a dominant receiver like that changes everything for you. But there's a good chance you're not going to have Michael Thomas this week as well. And even if he does, he's going to be compromised. So it's a definite problem. Green Bay's defense has been really frisky. So there's a whole lot of people that I would sit Brees for this week, including Gardner Minshew tonight.
Would you sit Brees for Joe Burrow?
I would, against that Philadelphia secondary. I would. I think that's going to be like a sneaky high-scoring game.
What do you think about Tom Brady so far this year and the Buccaneers offense, Andy? Because I feel like through 2 weeks, we don't really know what they are.
Yeah, I thought in opening week, this is weird to say because he threw a couple of just game-changing interceptions, right? But I thought the rest of it looked good. I thought the rest of it looked fine. Like he didn't look like he had the throwing arm of a 43-year-old man or 44, however old he is, right? Like he looked. I thought he mechanically looked good. I thought he had zip on the ball, and he's just got a wonderful receiving core. And Godwin's going to be back and healthy this week. So this is like the first week that we get a fully healthy Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, OJ Howard out there. That full receiving core is going to be at Brady's disposal. I'm pretty into it. I think he's a top 10 QB this week as well.
Andy, we got a delicious matchup on Monday Night Football. I'm happy with this Monday Night Football schedule so far. Chiefs and Ravens. The question being here, now the problem is that Sammy Watkins, you can't rely on him being in the lineup. Is Mecole Hardman a safe play? I mean, I remember asking the question before, you know, a few weeks ago, where's the line with Kansas City as far as playing people? But now you're going up against the Ravens defense on Monday night. So where would be the line? The obvious ones being Hill and, of course, Kelsey and, of course, the running back. But as far as Hardman and some other role players on this Chiefs offense, what are your thoughts going into Baltimore?
Yeah, we have a couple of great matchups this week. It's not just this one. It's also Dallas and Seattle. I can't wait for that as well. I really think that the only safe plays with Kansas City outside of Mahomes, obviously, the only safe plays in that receiving core are Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. We know their targets are guaranteed. And then it becomes kind of a spin the wheel situation. But it doesn't look very good for Sammy Watkins this week. And, of course, we have to take that all the way up through the Saturday practice notes. But it doesn't look that good for Sammy Watkins this week, which is inevitably good for Mecole Hardman. So, I would expect Mecole Hardman to see 5-6 targets, something like that. And for him, that's enough. That's enough to virtually guarantee one big play. Whether that big play ends in the end zone or not, we don't know. But that's enough to guarantee a splash play. So I'm pretty interested in Hardman. It would probably have to be a league in which I felt like I was a huge underdog, or a situation where I just lost Chark tonight and I needed to take evasive action there. But I think he's at least in the conversation.
Andy, we've gone this far in our conversation without mentioning Josh Allen, and because of where we are by proximity, it's all we've been talking about this week. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the Bills starting quarterback and how he's performed through 2 weeks this season.
It's his first look at a good defense, or at least a defense with some real playmakers. So that'll be interesting to see. I actually thought week two was much better than week one. Because I thought in week one, despite there's always great moments with Josh Allen. That's kind of a given that there's going to be some great moments, but there was still the ugly opportunities to give the ball away. There was misfire to Brown that went viral, right? Like he had a bunch of bad moments in week one. He had virtually no bad moments, or at least not at that level in week two. So I was really impressed by week two. And I've been really impressed by the sort of offense they're running as well, right? A lot of four wide receiver stuff. Obviously Diggs is great. Brown is great. That's all been fun to watch. So I'm pretty interested to see Josh Allen against like a legit defense, which is what we're going to get.
Yeah. And we're keeping tabs on Zach Moss, who again didn't practice today.
I got a lot of Moss.
Yeah, I mean the toe injury, that sounds, Andy, like it's something little, but I mean, to what degree? I mean, that could actually be a really big problem for the Bills and Moss.
Oh yeah, we can go back. You know, we can go back years and think of all the toe injuries. Assuming this is some sort of turf toe situation, you know, like the one bad year that Marshall Faulk had in the NFL was because of a turf toe injury. Like anything that compromises your ability to cut, your ability to move laterally, is a huge deal. That's not entirely his game, right? They like him near the goal line. He was great near the goal line in college, but it compromises him in a big way. It could set up a huge week for Devin Singletary.
Andy, put you on the spot here. Give us a sleeper going into week three that we could be targeting that might still be available in Yahoo leagues.
You've already mentioned one of them playing tonight, and that's LaVisca Chenault. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be really fun. And again, they give him the ball as a ball carrier and as a receiver. He's going to be really fun. We talked about Chris Conley a little bit. I think he could be a thing tonight as well. Another receiver who's still sort of weirdly available in Yahoo leagues is Russell Gage, who right now is sitting on 21 targets. He's tied to an Atlanta passing game that won't stop putting the ball in the air. Matt Ryan's been really good. Going to be some opportunities against Chicago, and there's at least a possibility that Julio Jones is going to play because he's had a hamstring issue. So Russell Gage could be a thing this week as well.
Andy, let our audience know where they can see and read more of your work.
Well, please catch us on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast podcast. We're podcasting 5 days a week, and you can catch us on Fantasy Football Live 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday.
Andy, always great talking to you. Wishing you plenty of wins this weekend. Thanks so much, Andy. And we lost Andy.
And with that, Andy's gone.
Oh, there he goes. All right.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy Sports. His regular Thursday visit here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Some good fantasy advice for you there. Help you set your lineup in advance of tonight's game, in advance of Sunday's action. And let's get you some W's.
So let's review, okay, the show so far. I took a drink of water, went down the wrong pipe. I doubled over. Danger thought that I was seriously wrong. Segment number two, the call drops with Andy Behrens. It's a little where everyone up for him here, Danger.
Well, you know what? I'm going to blame the asteroid that's passing by our planet.
Oh,
today.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's a big rock the size of a school bus that's passing through. It's only like 13,000 miles away, so it's not close enough to do any damage. But, Gino, I mean, imagine. I mean, it's 2020. couldn't get any worse,
no,
right?
It's, yeah. No.
If you missed Andy Behrens, if you came in late, radio.com rewind, a great feature. Lets you go back and listen to any part of the show that you may have missed for the next 24 hours. And if you follow us on Twitter at ESPN Rochester, we'll always alert you as to when on-demand audio becomes available next. We've got some takes on tap. It's a game we play called I'll Drink to That, the sports bar.
Did you hear who's hiring, Danger? The Buffalo Sabres
actually did, yes.
Are hiring.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody can apply. I
Gene, I would recommend you for that job, but I like you too much.
We have Seth Amber coming up at 4:05, so Amber's front office. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be pleased with my take coming up. Also, we have another minor league sport, another minor league team coming to Rochester. I'll give you details on that.
I'm off of this player's bandwagon. It took me a long time to get here, but I think I'm finally here. I don't know that he's in a position where he can look good this year. I'll explain. We have I'll Drink to That on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.